Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again. Believe in a power greater than what you are going through. When you don't know what to do,
that's right, when you don't know what to do, just keep on breathing. From the City of Angels in Los Angeles and the Big Apple in New York City, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, at caregiverdave.com, along with my lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg, at thecaregiverspace.org. And we're coming to you live and on demand 24-7 on 30 global audio video platforms like iHeartRadio, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud. My God, the list goes on and on. And one other thing, we are so proud to be voted number one caregiver podcast of the top 50. That's right, 50 on Player FM. And one of the best, or one of the six best podcasts by caring.com. I get that wrong every single time. As well as number three podcast out of thousands of caregiver podcasts on FeedSpot. And we do have an exciting show planned for you today, don't we, Adrian?
Yes, we do.
Trust me, we do. And today, it's me and Adrian, Adrian and me. Our guest had to cancel for some strange reason. Always amazes me when people cancel at the last minute. But I guess
but
it happened.
We're here. You know,
stuff happens. And so today we're going to be talking about caregiver issues during COVID-19. Let's face it. For some, I know it doesn't feel like it, and for some it does, but we are still in COVID-19.
Oh, yes.
It's been almost, gosh, I was going to say almost a year, but it really didn't start till March 1st, and now we're starting November, December, January, February, so almost going into our ninth month, I guess. Unbelievable.
Oh.
Glad nobody told me that this would be lasting as long as it did, and it may even last longer. Anyway, some of the things we want to talk about today, six things, and we'll kind of divvy them out. So the first one is managing their time. Talking about caregivers here. Managing caregivers' time, and it seems like they don't have any time for themselves or other family members. Now, I'm a caregiver. Adrian is a retired caregiver. And I'll tell you, that I had to just take care of this just last night. My daughter, oldest daughter, who we haven't seen since December 1st, last year. So my eldest daughter, she calls up and she's crying in tears. I miss you so much. You know, we've sequestered ourselves. My husband, you know, has this issue with his immune system, and I just can't take the risk, and you guys are traveling all over the place, and we, you know, I just have to be safe, and she's just bawling because she needs hugs and she needs, you know, to be with us. She loves us and we love her. The other daughter is very close by. We see them all the time, the one with the baby, and she's having a hell of a baby, and she's just going on and on. And so she's a caregiver. She's caring for her husband. And I'm caring for my wife. And we're approaching it with two different attitudes. She is being protective and fearful. And, you know, because that's what she feels comfortable doing. I don't criticize her for that. But she's, you know, we're very happy just staying home and do scrapbooking. And, you know, we haven't been out in a long time. We don't go to restaurants. And we're saving a lot of money. And Charlene and I, we're just, you know, we take precautions. I mean, we came back from Acapulco.
Are you wearing a mask?
Of course.
Never mind, of course. I'm asking.
Yes, I was wearing a mask on the airline. The center seats were empty, and they're very strict. And they keep giving us sanitizer, And then we went, we had a 5.5 hour, a 5.5 hour layover in Mexico City, and then we missed the plane, and then it was just a mess. It was an awful, awful, awful experience getting there. They told us to go to the wrong gate because the guy didn't speak English, didn't understand me, thought he'd send me to a different airline. There's Aeromar and Aeromexico. They sound very similar, you know. And so we missed the plane. The next one wasn't until the next day. We'd have to get a hotel. No. I'm not leaving the safety of this airport to go out into the jungle looking for a hotel.
Right.
And so the person who was organizing the trip says, no, I know a driver. I'll send him to pick you up. It's a 4.5 hour drive, but it's better than waiting in a hotel, right? And the only bad thing about it is he doesn't speak an ounce of English, so it'll be a very quiet ride. And it was. And we got a very scenic tour of self-tour of Mexico City. Most of it is jungle. Not just Mexico City, you know, between Mexico City and Acapulco. But then the rest of it is poverty. And
plenty of that.
Things that look like Tijuana. A lot of merchants selling their wares in little shacks that look like they'll blow down in a 20-mile-an-hour wind.
It's colorful.
And it's just sad. There's so much corruption, so much poverty there that I don't think anybody...
poverty.
It's just too widespread. And then the cartel, you know, they're just too entrenched. The last president tried to root them up, but they waged war on the government. They were killing governors and senators and decapitating their bodies and putting their heads in the public squares and the tourist centers, which killed tourism.
They used to put them on spikes in the Middle Ages.
And as you, tourism went down 85%, and so it was really hurting Acapulco and all the other places. Americans still have hesitated to come back to Acapulco. I would call my cell phone to order room service when I was away from the room, and she says, "Yes, Mr. David." And I says, "How did you know it was me?" And she chuckled, and I says, "Am I the only American got like 400 rooms?" She says, "See?" So, fools rush in where angels dare to tread. But the point is, we are handling our caregiving duties very differently. And either you're very fearful and you've got the mask on constantly because, I'm high risk according to my age, right? Anything went over 65 is high risk. I'm 66, but I'm good. I'm in good health. The president, how old is he? 74. I don't know too many 74s who does what he does and can work the long hours that he works. And if a 74-year-old gets coronavirus, I mean, that's usually the end of it. But he seems to have recovered pretty quickly. And Charlene, of course, she's 75 and she has issues. So we're all high risk. But I don't know. It just, opportunities come up, and if I don't take advantage of them, I may miss out on them forever. And so I'm trying to explain to her. She says, why are you going to all these places, and why are you taking these risks? And I said, I don't know. I just feel comfortable doing it. I'm not going to live my life in a tunnel. I'm not going to live in fear.
Right.
If it happens, it happens. I'll deal with it. If I get COVID, I'll get the latest drugs and try to get healed of it. If I die, I die. My will is done. And if I get it, she'll get it. We'll go together. I mean, that's kind of my attitude. And maybe it's foolish, but it's, I care more about quality of life than quantity. And she cares more about quantity. Because she says, "I'm still young. I haven't seen my daughter's kids yet, and I have a lot of life to live." And I says, "That's great. I kind of feel like I've lived my life."
But she's protecting her husband.
Absolutely. And so the question is, well, why aren't I protecting my wife? Well, my wife is ready to go.
Your wife.
She's lived her life. She's 75. She's trapped. Well, she is healthy, except she's trapped in this body. And half of it doesn't work.
But she's healthy.
Yeah, she is healthy. Not diabetic. She's not overweight. She's not, you know.
That's right.
All that other
Nothing
stuff.
Nothing to keep her from wearing a mask and enjoying the world.
We have lived our lives. I mean, I know I still have more life to live, and I probably will experience
things
that will exceed things I've done. I'm hoping and I'm believing, and it probably will happen. I can tell you, I'm hoping to get to the White House and to Congress and to share how they need a caregiver program in their Biden care now or whatever it's called.
Whatever
it will be called. So yeah, I'm excited about my future, but by the same token, you know, if I were to die today, I would die a happy, fulfilled, content man because I've done more than probably 90% of the world has done. And that's a pretty good score.
Yeah.
And likewise, you've done everything. You've traveled all over the world, you know, in all of your jungles of the world and all the organizations that you volunteered for. People would never know that you did all that by just looking at you today. You know?
Why not? Why? Because I'm wearing a t-shirt?
No, because anyone our age, your age or my age, young people look at us and they just see old people. They can't imagine what we were like when we were younger, how we were hip, how we were cool, how we were good looking, you know, and how we were just like them.
I'm still
just like they can't imagine being like us one day. So,
so
we're talking about managing our time and making time for ourselves, making time for our family. So we came up with this idea that she can come over before Christmas, her and her husband, and we'll meet outside in the patio with our masks on and social distancing, and we can exchange gifts that way.
The temperature where you
live. Hey, it's always beautiful in California.
That, right.
Yeah. And so that's a way managing my time.
And she can get tested. I mean, has she been tested?
Who are we talking about?
Your daughter.
No, she has no need to be tested because she's isolated.
Well, yes, she's isolated. Will you get tested before she comes over? To make her feel better.
Yes, because I'm coming back from New York when that happens. So I get tested every time I come back from a trip. And I'm going to be there the 4th through the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll come back, I'll get tested again my 4th time. And so she was saying, well, you know, it takes 2 weeks to really find out if you don't have, but a lot of places won't even give you a second test if it's, you just had one, unless you have symptoms.
Well, I have to get tests. I'm having surgery next Tuesday, Dave. So I won't be able to do the show
What are they going to do?
My cataracts.
Finally, huh?
Yeah.
You're having trouble seeing?
It's elective surgery. Yeah. As far as driving and things like that go.
You don't have a car, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
A big one.
I thought you...
A big one.
You don't need a car in Manhattan, do you?
We go to Fire Island and take a lot of stuff with us when we go.
Oh, I thought you took the subway.
You can't take the subway to Fire Island. Take
the Long
Island
ferry
to Fire Island, and then a ferry. You take a car and the ferry, or you take the Long Island Railroad, a shuttle, and then the ferry.
You prefer the car, then? Is it a Lincoln?
No, it's a big Ford. It's a Ford Escort, and it has the right amount of cubic feet in the back to put all the stuff that we have to bring with us because of the way we eat.
The way you eat, wow. Mm-hmm. All right. So where there's a will, there's a way. You can find time for yourself by just taking the time. I mean, I just do it. Because that's what I need to be happy. I need You have to monitor your feelings. So many caregivers, they're just like, oh, I'm so depressed. And okay, why are you depressed? Well, kind of, I haven't been
I'm
out of
going
the
to
house.
interrupt you.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're a caregiver for your wife, and you've been a caregiver for Charlene for a very long time. But
24 years.
Charlene is active.
Yes, I'm very
And
fortunate.
yes.
Yes.
So there are lots of people who are trapped 24
That's
hours
true.
a day, and they making time for themselves is very difficult. I could not go out to a face-to-face support group because I could not leave the premises.
Yeah.
So I
I'm almost
to...
not a care I'm almost not a caregiver because I have it so easy. Sure.
There's a big difference, you
yes.
know, in terms of making time for yourself and just doing things. You can't, if you've said you were going to be the caregiver, you're not just going to leave.
Right. So, for example, I'm going to New York, and my question is, what do I do with Charlene? You know, usually I'll try to take her with me, which
mm-hmm.
it's a miracle that someone can travel with me. Because that
yes.
takes a lot of energy and ability. Even though she's in a wheelchair, paralyzed on one side, she can still get it together to hop on a plane and you know, go around town in her little power chair.
Yeah.
But she only likes to go on those long trips because it's so much trouble getting there
yes.
and getting back.
Yes.
You know, you got to make it worth my while. A couple of weeks, you know. Acapulco.
And she sees family.
Yeah, in New York she does, yes.
Yes.
Some places she doesn't, like Hawaii. Which now she's
well.
Telling me she's bored in Hawaii. Can you believe she's telling me she's bored in Hawaii? Because I'm out doing things, you know, speaking at places, going on TV or whatever, and she's stuck in the hotel. I mean, we go out to eat, to a restaurant, go shopping, this and that, but most of the time she's just in her bed looking at the beautiful ocean on her iPad. I know that sounds really bad. Yeah, right. But I guess that gets boring after a while. You know, why she says, well, honey, your body can only do so much. So I told you she wants to go to Africa now on a safari.
Oh,
They're
that
saying,
would be wonderful.
A handicap safari. Is there such a thing? She says there is.
Of course.
And so, see, there's something inside of her that is bored and wants to have
experience.
The ultimate handicap experience while she still can.
Yeah.
So she's done with Hawaii because that's too boring now, sitting in a hotel
really?
Watching the ocean waves crash on your balcony. So now
so
she
you're
wants
not going
to see
to Hawaii again?
Well, I mean, you never say never, but it's like maybe not. Maybe not.
What's this?
Now, I loved Acapulco, and that was going to be my new Hawaii, but it's just too hard to get there. And I can't put
it's
her through that again.
It's easier to get to Hawaii.
Oh, it's all nonstop. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. But in Acapulco, oh my God, you know, there's at least a 5-hour layover. And then, you know, you got to hope you don't miss your plane. Otherwise, you're really screwed. But, and then, you know, the hotel only had two English-speaking TV channels, because she likes to watch TV, and guess what those channels were? CNN and Fox News. And every now and then they would throw in a cooking show, which was great, but you never knew when it was coming, or an NCIS, which
Even
was great.
Even on her iPad, she couldn't get... let's say Netflix or
you know,
any
she's
of the
not in the habit
services?
Of, you know, we didn't even think of that. But internet was sketchy enough that I know we would have issues with that because
yes.
she was having
okay.
issues just with the internet alone because it's Mexico, you know. So Acapulco is not the new Hawaii. I still need to find the new Hawaii. Well, I don't know.
The new Hawaii
Maybe
will.
Africa is the new Hawaii. I don't know.
It will not
anyway.
Be. If you're worried about Wi-Fi, Johannesburg will be the only Hawaii.
Write that
I
down.
I can't hear. Okay, I couldn't hear you. I mean,
I didn't
South
even know.
Africa is
little...
very sophisticated, but Nairobi and on the west coast where I live, that it's not, you won't get signals.
Now we're jibber jabbering here, and I don't even know if we're answering the questions, but
No,
some
it's
people might
okay.
enjoy our jibber jabbering. Some people might say,
Well,
answer the question, get to the point.
I'm
Can't
not,
please
we're
everybody.
talking about the fact that caregivers can and should somehow make time for themselves. I mean, I know that
We always say that, but family members, that's also important, especially
Yes.
now.
Oh,
Because
yes.
like my daughter is freaking out, and we're not like we're freaking out as much as she is because we're used to not seeing our kids because kids don't always
Want to
contact their
see
parents,
you.
right? You don't have any, so you wouldn't know. But the typical Jewish mother, you never call.
But I was a kid, so yeah, no,
Yeah.
my mother, you
And the guilt,
never call, you never write.
Well, I could be dead in the kitchen for 5 weeks and we no one would know because you haven't called me. Seinfeld episode. All right. So, I just want to make sure we covered the no time for themselves, no time for other family members. So what can we do to make sure, like I said, with the time with ourselves, you just have to do it. I know it's not easy. And I know you said that a lot of people are in different situations than me.
Yes.
So I'll imagine my wife is bedridden, can't even get out of bed. She needs 20, well, no, if she needed 24-hour care, she would have to be in a facility. So I won't say that because I can't give her 24-hour care. And so
You
I would,
wouldn't. So you wouldn't give her
it
24
wouldn't
hour
be fair
care.
to her. It wouldn't be fair to her. And I
Why?
physically couldn't. 24-hour care, that would mean getting up every 2 hours to turn her over to make sure she didn't get bed sores, stuff like that. When do I get to sleep,
Lots of people do that.
I know, but they shouldn't. They should put their loved one in a facility when it comes to a point that they need 24-hour care.
Yes, when
Otherwise,
it
you're just
gets to
killing
that
yourself.
point, absolutely.
So let's say they only need 12-hour care.
All right, now, so there's guilt involved in that,
Sure.
in
Lots of guilt.
making time for yourself. You start to
So
feel
how do
selfish
you not
and
neglect other family members when you are caring for a loved one? You call them up and you say, "Well, I can't go to you. Maybe you can come to me. Maybe we can have lunch on the patio, while grandma's sleeping or something, nap time or whatever." There are creative things you can do to get family members together, especially during the holidays, because
you're talking
we're not
about
going
adult children or
to.
children that are in college. But what about, if you're taking care, if you're a young parent and your children are still at home and something happens to a spouse and you have to pay attention to these kids
They get
and
the short end
you
of the
want
stick.
to mother, I mean, there are so many factors that go into it.
So in that case, I would want to make sure that once a month, at least one of the kids got special time with me. It was just me and you day out. We go to the movies, we go to the beach, we go wherever you want to go.
And
We
who would
Chuck
take
E.
care of the
Cheese.
person at home?
Well, surely somebody can take care of them. Maybe one of
Well,
the elder
if
kids,
you couldn't
or
afford
maybe a
one of them,
relative. Or you
maybe,
call up,
but
what's that organization? What's it called? There's so many of them that you
well,
see
there
them
are
on
lots of
TV.
people who will provide respite care for a fee, but not
Yeah.
everybody can afford it, especially if
Well.
they've had to give up their jobs to be able to care for the person that they're. See, I'm just playing devil's advocate
No,
here.
well, that's good because what I would do, because I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a creative kind of guy. If I was in that position, I didn't have the money, I would send out a little Facebook or email or phone call and say, call like five of my relatives who are doing better than me. Say, listen, my daughter and I, we really need time together. I'd love to go take her out for the day, but I'm trying to raise $50 or $100 to have someone come in and watch grandma while I do this. if everybody just contributes $20, that would do it. Can you please help out? And I'll help you. You know, I'll do your nails if you need it. Or, you know, you barter back and forth. There's so many creative things that you can do if you don't have the money. Bartering is, I mean, that's what people did for hundreds of years.
Now, let me be, you know, do something. The devil's advocate, the person that you're taking care of, your spouse, your child, your mother, your father, whatever, you're the only one they trust. They won't allow a stranger to take care
of this. Well, that's just tough. You just have to be strong and say, listen, mom or grandma or whoever it is, you love your granddaughter, right? Well, yes, of course. Well, you know, she's having a really hard time. Her and I need this time together. Now, do you want me to... Oh, yes, yes, please, put her needs first. You know, you have to word it in a certain way. Use guilt, for example.
Yeah, well...
Guilt's very effective,
but they're trying to make you feel guilty for going out.
Not just wanting to go out.
They understand that you want to go out.
Yes.
That's provided they still have their wits about them.
Yeah, and if not, then who cares? You know, it doesn't matter what you say. You're never going to win the argument. You just bring someone in, and and you say, "Listen, I've got to go to the doctor. You know, or I might die. So and so is going to take care of you," and just leave. You know, you don't give them a chance to argue. I mean, it's like a 2-year-old. How do you handle a 2-year-old? You know. It's psychology. It's child psychology, reverse psychology. If you manage to raise your kids, you got through the terrible twos, you can get through your loved one who is elderly or demented or whatever, you know?
No, I was very fortunate. I was able to make time for myself, but there were periods of time where I couldn't leave for a certain amount of time and couldn't commit to like committee meetings and face-to-face support meetings and things. So I was lucky already that the computer age was not what it is now, but because I really had to look to find a support group online. But
all right. Well, we spent 30 minutes on that one. We got 5 to go. So that means
you do. Well, let me hear them.
So we'll have to spend 5 minutes on each one. So we got to whiz through the rest of these. Okay.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Who am I? My name is David. I've had the privilege of being Charlene's husband since 1975. We had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that culminated in our marriage a year later. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received 2 black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought us all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, our love then produced Rebecca Elizabeth. We had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel Christian music, Andre Crouch? Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. You'll be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through. Available everywhere.
What do they say?
Number 2, emotional and physical stress. What's the difference between emotional stress and physical stress?
Physical stress is like if you have to pick somebody up and put them in a chair and do the toilet work and the showering and all of that, and the physicality of it is too much for
Or
you.
even chores. Let's say you got 12 things on your chore list. You're driving from the supermarket to the hairdresser to the dentist to the doctor to the pharmacy. That's exhausting. That's
You
physically
get
exhausting.
tired.
You just tell yourself, I'm not, someone calls you, oh, can you pick me up? No, I am not leaving this house. I just got home. I'm not getting in that car again. I
Right.
mean, we've all been there, right? Yes, so that's physical stress. Now, what's emotional stress?
Well, I for me, the emotional stress was from the moment that Steve was diagnosed until when he died. He wasn't in denial, but he was able to not be a cancer patient. I was the one who knew that. He knew too, but I was the one that knew that I was going to be left. I would be a widow. I would be on my own. I would have to take care of this and this and this and this. And all along the way, there was all the paperwork that had to be done, and all of that was mental stress. But I think the
Ah,
most
you brought up
stress was
mental
knowing I
stress.
was alone.
So there's mental stress and emotional stress and physical stress.
Well, mental and emotional, I'm
You think so?
putting the two of them together. It's
All
psychological
right.
stress. Yeah.
Psychological stress. So, and it's also relational stress that goes in there as well. You know,
Oh.
let's say your loved one is giving you complaints. She's complaining about this and complain. Now, how come, you don't fix my favorite meal? Well, because the doctor says you
Right.
can't eat Pops, Mom, and you can't eat Cheetos and whatever.
Right.
And they just don't let that go. They want, well, yeah, I'm old enough to be your grandmother. Don't tell me I can't do that. And just the belligerent nature of how some people can treat their children or their
Well,
parents. Rather.
there are a lot of conditions where people become physical,
Yes.
and there is physical danger.
Even if it's their adult child,
Yeah,
they're just not in the
right.
right
And
mind. And should they be in
there's
that situation, or should it be time for a facility when that happens? When you start
no,
having
I mean
scars all
it's
over your
it.
face?
Well, that's a different story. That's time for a social worker, for sure. But
So how do we manage the stress?
there's such a thing called cancer brain. It comes and goes.
Cancer brain?
People get very angry. The chemo and the radiation will affect patients, and it's not a lot of different conditions. Medication will cause the side effects that the person will not always exhibit terrible emotional states, but
Yeah.
here you are on the receiving end, got and worried about being, when is this going to happen next? So there's constant stress.
Yeah. But how do you manage it? Do you just kind of meditate or just
I
lock
turn it
yourself in
off.
the room?
What do
Do a
you
favorite,
do?
a jigsaw puzzle, things that are distracting, I think. Watch your favorite TV show. Go out for a walk, get some fresh air, breathe some oxygen. Just anything that's not a lack or fear, and it's a distraction. Take away
I would do
one
puzzle,
and
even reading a book.
yeah,
It takes you to another
to another
world.
world. Yeah. All right, number three, financial strain.
Oof.
Yeah, that's a biggie. So, and every time finances comes up, I don't, because I don't know what else to say. Camille Supersohn's book,
Oh,
Essential
Jesus.
Resource Guide for Caregivers: Save Time, Save Money, Save Your Sanity. This is an encyclopedia that should be in every caregiver's library. Okay, look at how thick it is. It'll tell you how to get free money, how to get free resources, how to get free food.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I'm telling you.
She's really something.
Turn the power off.
I'm trying.
So that's how you handle financial stress. That's a simple answer. CamilleSuperson.com. CamilleSuperson. I think there's a doctor in there somewhere, too. Dr. Camille Superson. She's been on the show four times. Number four, sleep deprivation.
Oh, God.
You know, the average caregiver gets 2 or 3 hours sleep. I can't survive on 2 or 3 hours sleep. Maybe Adrian can. I don't know.
No. No, I can't.
So my wife has insomnia, so she takes Ambien. She takes an over-the-counter sleeping pill. So in addition, so she takes both of those. And then I tell her don't drink her Diet Coke too late, you know, because that's caffeine. Don't drink coffee. Don't drink tea. Don't drink Coke. What else can you do? Try to be physical during the day so that by the end of the day you're exhausted and you can fall asleep. Are there beverages you can drink to help you sleep? I mean, there's natural things like melatonin, I'm told.
Melatonin, you know, and it comes
with a mask.
Like pills. Eye mask.
Take the brightness so when the sun comes up, it doesn't wake you up.
But what about your loved one waking you up in the middle of the night who needs you?
Or your loved one?
Whoever the person you're caring for is waking you up, even as a professional caregiver.
Well, if that's a regular occurrence, if that's a regular occurrence, I would say it is time to consider some other arrangement or a facility. What do I mean by some other arrangement? I don't know. I value my sleep very much, and if Charlene was waking me up every 2 hours, kind of like a newborn baby, right? Somehow young parents can tolerate sleeping 2 hours a night because their kid kept them up, you know, every 2 hours when they need a feeding or whatever, or a dirty diaper, and they can't get back to sleep. And somehow they can survive, and then maybe, you know, 5 or 6 days later, they've got to, like, crash for 12 hours
to
catch up. But when we're older, that doesn't always work. You know, they're young and resilient. So I'm saying if you are losing your sleep night after night after night after night because of your loved one, it's time to consider a different arrangement.
Yes.
Either a facility or sharing the bed with another family member, you know, rotating. I don't know exactly what it is. You have to come up with something.
Or getting
creative.
An aid.
Yeah, that costs money.
Yes, of course it does.
But Camille Superson's book might show you how you... So this book, I think all the answers are in this book of what we're going through. Number five, being afraid to ask for help. Gosh, that is so, so big. Because here I was going to give you the example about New York. I'm supposed to go to New York. What am I going to do with Charlene? She doesn't want to go to New York. It's Christmas month. She decorates for Christmas.
Yes, she does.
So, and I can't just go and leave her alone that many days. I've done it before in the past, but, you know, I worry too much. And then one time, you know, she fell. And fortunately, who was here was strong enough to pick her up. And I just don't want to do it. So I'm trying to come up with creative solutions. So there's several people in our church who are very close with her. They love her. And they have little kids who are now like 16 who adore her. Mm-hmm. And so, anytime Charlene cleans out her closet, you know, she gives it to them. So I emailed them and I says, hey, you know, I've got to go to New York to promote my new book, Dave's Hammock Wisdom. It's going to be on the Jumbotron. And I need someone to be with Charlene for 5 nights. And you know, my daughter... And my granddaughter said that they can kick in, but, you know, not every night. Maybe you guys can kick in a night, and your mother and your sister. And so between all of them, we might have every night covered. But see, I was afraid to ask because I don't like to ask. I don't like people to feel indebted and stuff like that. But
it's a shame.
You're either going to swallow your pride so you can go to New York and sell your book and help all these other caregivers, or just, you know, not. And
no,
so I forced myself, even though I didn't want to do it.
It's a shame issue for a lot of people asking for help.
And they emailed me right back. Oh, yeah, that sounds like fun. Oh, so-and-so would love to do that. And they love Christmas. They know Charlene loves Christmas. And so here, I'm going to make my reservation, by golly. If they'll let me in, I'm told that if you're traveling for business, they won't quarantine you. My guy says fly to Newark and drive into New York because they're a little less, crazy about
what the new regulations are.
Yes, tell me again.
Okay, you get tested before you go.
No, see, that doesn't apply. I told my guy, and he says, just fly into Newark. Now, if you're traveling for business, that doesn't apply. Would you agree with that?
Personally?
That's the fine print? Yeah.
I would still get tested once I got to New York and make sure that
But
I
then they
want
to sequester you for 2 weeks, though.
No. No, they don't. 3 days.
3 days, huh?
You get the test and then you quarantine for 3 days. No, I'm not suggesting.
Hey, but I'm very careful on the plane. I have that little tube that I fall asleep, and so I've got my mask, it's an N95 mask. My head is in that tube almost all of the time. So I've been on a plane
tube,
so many times.
If
you blow it up. No, you blow it up and it's a round tube with a little thing for your face. And your face kind of goes in there, and that's a sleeping position, just leaning forward like
it.
That. Well, I've got it.
So
online. Moving on. Being afraid to ask for help. So just ask for help, right? Just got to do it. I mean, that time I cut my finger off because I didn't want to ask for help with a skill saw. Go ahead.
What we're concentrating on right now is figuring out how to create community, a caregiving community where people are there for each other. You have the church. That's great. Not everybody does have that. I mean, I'm not in a position where I have that. Yes, I can go out and hire somebody, but that's me. The notion,
friends? Got any friends, neighbors? That are close by?
No.
Yeah, you're really isolated.
My brother would be available.
So visiting angels.
His wife would be. Yes, visiting angels, but we're talking about creating community awareness.
Yeah. Senior centers. You got a senior center in Manhattan?
Not everybody that's sick is a senior.
No, I'm saying for help for baby adult sitting.
I'm
so you meet someone
not
there.
Everybody is a senior. Oh, you mean that the seniors
that?
Would be the babysitter?
No, and in other words, you say there's no churches. Go to your senior center, and I guarantee you, you'll find at least a dozen Filipinos caring for some elderly people. And you ask that Filipino if they have a sister or a brother who's a caregiver, because all Filipinos are caregivers. We know that. They just are naturally inclined toward that.
Naturally, they're natural caregivers. But
they're compassionate people.
Filipinos.
Well, it's bad to call them all caregivers, all caring, compassionate,
caring,
loving people. That's
and I would say all Asians have a respect for family and caregiving, and that's.
But there's a reason why most caregivers are Filipinos. I don't know why.
Are they? Maybe
mostly.
California.
Yeah.
There were some in New York, yes, but not all.
All right. So number six, depression and isolation. And I mean, we're basically talking about all of that. You are elderly, you're kind of isolated, you don't have relatives or people all around
don't
you.
Don't call me elderly.
What should I call you? Active.
Elder.
You're an active elder.
I'm an
Does
active
sound good?
Elder. Yeah.
I'm an active elder. So
yeah,
just
I mean,
the ly on the end upsets you, right? Elder.
Yeah.
I'm elder, but not Lee.
I'm older. I'm not a spring chicken.
Older.
I feel like, you know, I could do anything, but every now and then
not a spring
I try
chicken.
And
have you ever seen
bend over and pick something up, and it's like, oh God, I can't do this. I can't do
now,
what
if,
I used to.
If you fall down, can you get yourself up?
I have. It depends. Yes, of course.
It's getting harder to get up when you're down on the ground, isn't it?
No,
you got to do it in a certain way.
You have to do it in a certain way.
You
got to
roll over on all fours.
But I have a knee replacement, which makes
it harder. That makes it worse.
Yeah.
So depression. We're talking about antidepressant drugs. Why not? You know, they're
not
recreational drugs. They don't make you feel high or weird or anything like that. They just bring back a chemical imbalance that's in your brain. You don't know what's going on in your brain. Go see a doctor.
First of all, the antidepressants, that you have chemical depression, you know, a real chemical imbalance in your body, and even before you were giving care, you were depressed. Then you have caregiver depression for people who are actually doing caregiving and they get depressed while they're doing it. That's a big part of what being a part of a support group is. You get that support, you find out you're not alone, you're not the only one going through this. You get to vent. There are people who are listening, and it's not like you feel isolated once you find that community that you feel comfortable in. There are enough online communities now. It's different than when I started. There are enough online communities where you can go and literally just kvetch to your heart's content. You know,
what's that word?
Kvetch, complain.
Wow.
K-V-E-T-C-H.
Jews have their own vocabulary, don't they?
Kvetch.
Yeah. Is there a Jewish dictionary so that we know what all these Jewish terms mean?
There's a Jewish slang dictionary. Yeah, I should be able to, just for expression.
That would be very interesting, yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm always going like, Eddie, do you know what this means? You know? Because I got
there's your next book, Adrian, right there.
My right. First book.
So that covers it. Now, the list, that's just the for top six, because I'm sure there's 20 more of things that people are going through during COVID-19. But the point is, you don't have to be alone. You don't have to be depressed about it. You don't have to lose sleep over it. You don't have to be stressed out over it.
Well, if it's a COVID-19 issue, you have to take into, once the person goes into a hospital, if the person needs to go into a hospital, then you have other issues that are stressful because you can't see them. They won't let you into the hospital.
But the treatments are getting better, aren't they? Less people are dying now than they were in the first place.
Yes.
And let's forget, 40% of all the deaths happened because your governor stuck sick people in nursing homes. And not just your governor. My governor did it too, and several other governors, because they said they didn't know any better.
But they had COVID wings. They had wings that were just for COVID people. I'm not saying my governor is perfect, but boy, New York went from the highest to the almost the lowest.
Well, I thought he would be happy that a vaccine is coming out, but apparently he wasn't happy. he said it wasn't good news, but we're not here to talk about your governor.
It's not a matter of it being good or bad news. It's a matter of making sure that it's safe, and the fact that it's been having worked on, as I told you before, having worked on vaccines, it's very, very time-sensitive.
So what's the fastest you think one can be made if all red tape was out of the way but didn't compromise safety. What's your best guess?
Not compromising safety?
Right.
You still have to have a control group.
Yeah, well, what's the fastest that can happen?
I would think it's 2 years.
Really?
Really.
And because?
Before I would trust it.
Because why?
Side effects. Whether or
so
not
the longer you wait, you might have a side effect that may not pop up for a couple of years, I would say.
That's right.
So why wait only 2 years? Why not you wait 3 or 4 years? Because someone can pop up after 3 or 4 years, right?
Well, most vaccines take a long time for that very reason.
All right.
That's why this is being rushed through. And even though it's 90% effective, it has to be stored at a certain temperature, which is going to be a challenge. And you need 2 shots. And you got to get it to 300 million people in this country.
Yeah, but half of them probably don't want it.
Well, yeah. They don't want the kids to get vaccinated. They won't want to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
I think there's no problem with a little bit of chatting here and there. I think people find it interesting.
Well, I do, because it's fun, and it's like...
It's entertaining.
You're a fly on the wall, just eavesdropping on a conversation.
Yeah.
But probably, I don't know, maybe not everyone would look at it that way, but I would look at it that way. Maybe we should have them vote. How many like the chit-chat, or just Joe Friday, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. You know, find out. I mean,
okay.
if you ever listen to Kelly and Ryan, you ever watch that show? That's all they do is chit-chat.
That's correct. Their shows about
that's
absolutely
all they do.
Nothing, basically.
Is it Kelly, the blonde who's all, you know, ditzy and just like all over the place, and she's just telling you what funny thing happened to her cat this morning on her way
exactly.
to work? And they'll go on and on. I'm waiting for 50. Really?
There's
I guess.
Shows about nothing.
But I'm watching it, aren't I? So, I mean, it must work. And she's just cute to watch, anyway. And all the women would say, yeah, well, that Ryan's, he's pretty fun to watch, too.
No, not all the women. Not everybody watches those shows.
Well, I don't watch them.
Well, you're saying
not
you
one
do. You're saying she's fun to watch.
Well, I watched her one time, maybe two. Maybe two. I don't think I've watched her 3 times. It's because it's the same thing. You know, I think the second time I watched her,
you see, they could be talking about important things as well.
Well, I'm sure they do, but it takes them a while to get to it.
They have chit chat, and then they have a guest. Who has something important to say?
Yeah, that's what we did. We chit-chatted for 30 minutes and got around to talking about what we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
All right.
But we're not here trying to sell anything.
And no, I don't think we're selling anything.
When they have a guest.
Are we selling anything?
Hmm?
Are we selling anything? We should sell something.
Well, you're selling
what
books.
Should we sell?
Your book.
Yeah, hey, I'm selling books.
Yeah, but you could
what are you selling?
Some commercials in there. I'm not selling anything.
You got to be selling something.
I am not.
You're selling your website for people to come and check it out.
I'm selling my website, but I'm not selling it for money.
It's free, but you're still selling it.
It's
right?
free.
It sometimes
I'm
it's harder to
it.
Sell something free than it
I'm
is to charge someone.
I'm promoting it. I'm promoting it. I'm not selling it.
All right. So you've got 30 seconds. Promote it.
I invite everyone to come to the Caregiver Space. Thecaregiverspace.org. It has all of the social media at the bottom of the homepage. And we have many, many, many chat groups on Facebook. The Facebook page is just the Caregiver Space, and there are many communities. It's just a great resource and a great place to get support. We have almost 165,000 members, which means that it's worth joining, and people do stick, and people get responses, and they're there 24 hours a day. People are getting answers.
Are they there 24 hours a day?
There are people who were online in the middle of the night, and they're getting responses.
Chatting with each other?
Yep.
Two people chatting back and forth in the middle of the night?
Sure.
Wow. That's not easy to do.
They do it.
Well, that's good. So if you are up in the middle of the night and you're feeling lonely and depressed and you need someone to talk to, there's no one around, pull up your iPad device, computer, iPhone, Samsung phone, whatever you got, and just type in
thecaregiverspace.org
and then look for a word that says chat, right?
No, you go to Facebook for the chats now.
Oh, you're doing the Facebook. Forget the website then. Go to Facebook and do The Caregiver Space, and then you can just chat automatically.
You can see all the communities, yep.
And if you're lucky, someone's there at that hour chatting away, and you can butt into the conversation or join the conversation.
If it's in the community part of it, then there's usually somebody there all the time. If it's one of the special groups, you know, the LGBTQ or the spousal care or the after caregiving group, they might not be there all the time, but you can certainly.
You have a regular general group, like a
the
caregiver
community.
Group.
Just it's the caregiver
community,
the caregiver
okay.
space community.
All right. And you
Thank
can go to Facebook.
Thank you for that opportunity to promote the caregiver space.
No problem. It's free, right? No charge.
Yeah, no charge.
As long as it's free.
No ads.
So if you want to check me out, just go to Facebook and type in Caregiver Dave. And I got 37,000 followers. And a lot of people talking on that one as well. And my website, caregiverdave.com, I have three free gifts for you. A book, an audio soundtrack to help you sleep. See, I could have thrown that into the sleep deprivation. Go to caregiverdave.com and get your free audio soundtrack of the sleeping aid that helps you sleep and helps you stay asleep. And what's the third gift?
Meditation in terms of
stress.
Oh, yeah. Meditational breathing. Just breathe, Dave.
Yes. And then the third thing is the as our song says, keep on breathing. The third one is a quiz. You might know that you're burned out. You might be in denial about it, right? The ugly road of denial. And as they say, denial. It's not a
river in Egypt.
So that will help you learn if you are burned out. If you're a candidate for burnout, it'll give you a score, and then it'll tell you if you did poorly. It'll tell you what you can do to improve your score. And so with that, I bid everybody an adieu, whatever that word means. And I'm sure it means goodbye in some language.
It does in French.
Oh, yes. Remember that song, The Sound with Music? Goodbye, so long, farewell.
Farewell, goodbye.
Whatever.
Adieu. Adieu to you.
Adieu.
And you.
Yes, Christopher, what was his name?
Plummer.
He died, didn't he?
No.
Or is he still alive?
Yes.
Do you know you're old when you can't remember who's dead and who's still alive?
That's true.
Who just died recently?
Alex Trebek.
Yes, that was very recently.
Yes, and Norm Crosby just died.
Oh, no, I loved him. I loved the way he crucified the English language. God, these guys were old. Old era. The golden era.
All of the... It's like the average age of members of the Friars Club is dead.
You know, if a new comedian wanted to come on and do some fresh stuff, they can do a Norm Crosby imitation and just talk. It was so fun listening to this guy mix up his words.
Yeah, he was great.
All right. Well, I'll see everybody next week, and thanks for stopping in, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sometimes it feels like the sun will never rise, like the birds will never sing again. Keep breathing, take it in and let it out. Keep breathing, it's gonna be okay. Don't know what to do.